Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions. Now, let's go to the Gemba. Hi, Mark DeLuzio here. Welcome to Lean 911 podcast. This is episode 33. This episode is going to talk about chairs in a manufacturing cell. Big, emotional, controversial, a lot of debate over this one. So this episode is called Chairs, to sit or not to sit. That is the question. Chairs in a cell, I've debated this for years. At one point in putting together the Danaher Business System, we made this a non-negotiable. We weren't about to have arguments in 200 of our plants about chairs in a cell. Okay. And our position was they don't belong in a cell and they're dangerous. And I'm going to take you back to a philosophy. By the way, what we did at Danaher was we will explain to you why, not just say, no, you can't use them, but explain why. Okay. Now, not everybody agreed. And there was a lot of pushback in terms of people who advocated for chairs in a cell. And there's always those exceptions. What about this? And what about if they have to do this? What about if they have to do that? Well, the answer was an adamant no, no exceptions. And we put a position paper out that explained why, so that people can at least read it. Whether they agreed with it or not is a whole nother matter, but we didn't want to have the debate 100, 200 times around the world in different countries, okay? So I want to go back to a principle called safety, quality, delivery, and cost, SQDC. And this is something I would ask you to think about whenever you get a challenge like this, or whether or not we should build inventory, or whether or not we should do this or that and the other thing. Go back to the fundamental principles, okay? Go back to the principles that you've learned, whether they're just-in-time principles, safety principles, SQDC, which, by the way, safety, quality, delivery, cost is an order of priority. They are not just a list. It's an order of priority, one higher than the other, okay? And use that as a fallback. I think you're going to find a lot of the answers to your questions come a lot easier when you rely on the framework of principles. So I want to talk about chairs as it relates to SQDC. First of all, let's talk about safety. Ergonomically, sitting all day is not a good thing. Okay, whether you're in an office, whether you're in a factory, it doesn't matter. Being sedentary all day, and there's studies on this that say it's not good for you for a lot of different reasons, whether it's blood flow, whether it's your, you know, your back, your torso, whatever. It's not a good thing, okay? And if you want to talk about workers' comp costs and things like that, well, there you have it, right? There are tripping hazards. Chairs are tripping hazards. In a cell, when people are walking to and from, they're tripping hazards. Number two, I have just talked to a company not too long ago that said in the month of whatever it was, they had three people falling off their chairs. I'm sure I ever heard of such a thing before, but they were falling off the chairs. They would go reach for something, and as they halfway got out of their chair would roll back because it's on casters. Okay, and the chair wasn't there, and they ended up falling, hurting themselves. Now, what does that tell you about the ergonomics of the workstation in terms of tools and materials? A subject for another day. Someday, maybe we'll talk about that with cell design. But they actually had three people fall off their chairs in a given month. And the lady who runs her EH&S had to do a half an hour seminar on how to get out, a half a day seminar as to how to get out of your chair. Well, an easy way to eliminate that seminar is get rid of the darn chairs and you don't have to worry about it, right? Now, by the way, before I go on, you're always going to get pushback like, hey, lady's pregnant and she can't really, you know, she can't really stand all day or walk. Or Charlie is 400 pounds and he's handicapped. He's got a bad knee. You know, I couldn't play Major League Baseball because I couldn't hit a 95 mile an hour fastball. Defensively, I was probably good enough, but I couldn't hit a 95 mile an hour fastball. So guess what? Mark DeLuzio doesn't get to play Major League Baseball. Sorry, that's just the way it is. I can't be a rocket scientist today. I can't be an astronaut. Right now, I can't go into the military because I'm too old. Okay? Guess what? I don't get to do those things. If you're not physically fit to do the job, then that person's got to be removed from the job, put somewhere else in the organization to do something, but not do that job. It's that simple. Okay? So don't let these excuses of people saying, hey, you know, what about Charlie here? Got a bad knee. What about Mary? If you're not physically able to do the job, you're not able to do the job. These jobs require people to stand if you're doing standard work. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Okay. So I talked about safety, quality. What happens when you're sitting at a workstation? And by the way, the whole notion of workstations when you do cell design and standard work has to go away. We can't have Bob be the tester and Mary be the assembler. What if their work sequences are not balanced to tack time? What if Mary's job takes 60 seconds and tack time's 40? Okay. Or conversely, what if the cycle time of the operation at whatever station you happen to put these people at is 40 seconds and the tack time is 60? Well, she's at the front of the line. She's going to tend to overbuild because we only need one part every 60 seconds. That's the tack time. So Mary has to figure out how to do the next 20 seconds worth of work in the order that's given to build a part. So right there, from a quality perspective, what you're going to have is the tendency to build batches, and you're going to expose yourself to bad quality. If they're all wrong, let's say you build batches of 12 and they're all wrong, you've got an exposure of 12 bad parts. Okay. So from a quality perspective, we want to do this. From a delivery perspective, so quality, safety, quality, delivery now, the batches drive your lead time to the customer. Okay. It's very simple. If I've got a batch of 10, and people say, well, I work on 10 at a time. No, you don't. You work on one at a time. The other 9 are waiting for you to work on. Okay. So no matter what you do, the other 9 are waiting. You want to reduce your lead time? Put everybody into one piece flow. In that example, everything else being equal, you'll reduce your lead time to the customer by 90%. So you people are given 9 weeks lead time, or let's say 10 weeks, just to make the math easy, 10 weeks of lead time to the customer. Go from a batch of 10 to a batch of 1 in a one-piece flow cell. You can now offer a one-week lead time and kick the butt out of your competition. Okay, I've done that before. Going from 28 days to 3 days, we took a temperature controller business from 30,000 units a year to 110,000 simply because our lead times were better than anybody on the planet. Okay, we were 3 days. Our distributors didn't have to carry all the inventory. And guess who they wanted to order from? Because gross margin, return on investment, called GMROI, is what they get measured on and paid on. And the investment is inventory. It's a big one. So if they can carry less inventory dealing with us as a supplier at 3 days lead time, guess what? We win. The other guys lose. Okay. So lead time is a competitive weapon, even with a commodity product. So lower batches reduces your exposure to bad quality. Okay. And the feedback is better in a one-piece flow cell because I don't have to wait, 6 weeks later to hear that, oh, we had a quality error in our part. I can get that feedback right away in a one-piece flow cell, right? Okay, so that's safety, quality, delivery. Let's talk about cost. Okay, obviously productivity is a big impact here. I just talked about the cost of poor quality. Your EH&S cost, your safety costs are going to be lower because of what we talked about earlier in the safety category. Your productivity is going to be better simply because you'll be 10 to 15% more productive because you're in fluid motion, right? So if you ever saw a tennis player wait for a serve, they're not standing flat-footed. They're moving back and forth because reaction time is a lot easier when you're in motion. The same thing goes for productivity in the cell, okay? A baseball player may do the same thing. You may see a baseball player take a few steps back, and then when the pitch is coming, move in a bit. They're in motion. They're moving. They're not flat-footed, all right? There is a definite productivity improvement for people who are moving, all right? And, you're going to get a lot of excuses. Hey, our concrete floor is really hard. You know, in the old days when I first started out in manufacturing, a lot of the floors were that nice wood floor that had nice on your feet. It's nice and cushiony, but they're environmental hazards because oil seeped into them and all that, right? Well, they sell mats. They sell all kinds of ergonomic stuff for people's feet and standing on these mats and all that. You don't have to stand on a concrete floor, et cetera, et cetera. One person said to me, well, geez, those mats, when they get oil on them, they get slippery and people fall and slip and hurt themselves. Why are they getting oil? Okay. Why is that a normal occurrence for you? Okay. Don't let that happen. Right. So, you keep peeling back the onion on this and you find out all these excuses don't really work. Okay. Now, you may upset somebody because they may say, geez, I've been sitting, now they're making me stand. What a mean boss you are. You're doing them a favor, number one. But look, it's hard to do at the beginning when you first have to do this. But if you make a policy and you pull all the chairs out, say, hey, look, nobody is gonna be sitting, right? Now, that may mean you have to raise the workbenches to a certain height, whatever the case may be, right? But chairs in a cell is a big controversy. I've been in discussions with this time and time and time again. And at the end of the day, you'll be much better off for it if you decide with what I'm suggesting and not to allow chairs in your manufacturing process. By the way, one other thing. People say, well, people do this really fine work and they got to be sitting there. They've got to be sitting. No, they don't. Well, they have to rest their elbows so that they could still rest their elbows if they need to for the job, in a standing position. You just have to structure it appropriately, okay? So you're going to get thrown a lot of excuses, a lot of questions, a lot of debate, a lot of pushback on this one. And it is an emotional issue. I won't kid you on this. But I want to just, give you at least a few reasons why it's just not a good idea as you go through. And again, it got to be such an issue at Danaher that we made that a non-negotiable point, and we will explain it to you, and we'll have a written white paper on it to explain why we don't allow it, but we weren't going to allow anybody to do it simply because it was just bad all around for safety, quality, delivery, and cost, and it was bad for the individual. Okay, so anyway, chairs in a cell. To sit or not to sit, that is the question. Hopefully, I answered that question for you, and we can move from there. So any questions on this or comments, please write me at Mark, M-A-R-K, Mark at Lean lean911.com. Go to our website, lean911.com, for all the episodes. We're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, all those platforms, YouTube. And we'd love to see you give some comments and questions about this and some challenges. Hey, look, if you disagree, let me know. Love to hear from you, okay? And maybe we'll air that one someday when I get enough emails coming in to at least get your voices heard. Even I may disagree, but we can get them out there and get your thoughts out there as well, okay? So again, Mark DeLuzio, episode 33. This is the Lean 911 podcast. Chairs to sit or not to sit? Not only is that the question, but hopefully that's the answer. Thanks. See you next time. Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.